Our text today comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and can be found on page 2 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Lord, we come this morning with our questions, with our anticipation and expectation, with our lives. And we come with all of these things, God, and lay them before you, that you would take us and speak to us and use us as you will. God, help us to hear what you have to say for us as you guide and direct each day and each moment of our lives throughout this year. In Christ's name, amen. I want to begin this year with a theme that I've never preached on before, and I'm kind of surprised that I haven't. I want to talk to you about secrets. Secrets are part and parcel of our lives, and they play an extraordinarily important part in everyone's day-to-day life. You know, we all really have kind of two separate lives. We have our public life and our private lives. The public life is the life that everyone sees. That's the part of us that's open, that we share quite easily and quite freely. We are kind of an open book. But then there's this, the private part of our lives that we tend to hold more closely, and for many people, because we should. And this is where our secrets come in. Secrets play an important role in our private lives. They play an important role in the life of our world. There's certain information that people should be apprised of, and then there's other information that should be kept secret or only shared sparingly. And, you know, some people seem to have a very difficult time discerning what should be public and what should be kept private. In this day of social media, there are certain people who seem to think that publishing and sharing all of their innermost private thoughts and actions is appropriate in a public forum, and it's not. There are parts of our lives that should remain secret. And so I want to talk about secrets because they play an important, such an important role in our lives, and they play an incredibly significant role in our spiritual narrative as well. Over and over again, we find there are places in Scripture where certain people have information and other people don't, where God speaks to certain people in a way that other people simply aren't aware of. There is secret information that is important in health, in growth and health and spiritual lives. And so I want to talk to you about secrets. And today I want to talk about dark secrets, the part of the side of our secret lives that perhaps isn't so healthy, and the kind of the part of our secret lives that perhaps needs to be brought out into the light. I'd like to begin by quoting my favorite pop theologian, New Jersey's own Bruce Springsteen. He wrote a great song called Darkness on the Edge of Town. And in there he says, everybody's got a secret, son. Something that they just can't face. Some folks spend their whole lives trying to keep it and carry it with them every step that they take. Until one day, they just cut it loose. Cut it loose or let it drag them down. Everybody's got a secret. Something that they just can't face. He's talking about dark secrets. And I believe Springsteen is accurate. There are parts of our lives that everybody would rather not share or have known. The parts of our lives that create in us a feeling of shame or dread if they were to be exposed. And so we hide them, or we try to anyway. These are the dark secrets, and our dark secrets can be our most treasured possessions, and they can also be the most dangerous parts of our lives, because there are certain dark secrets that simply need to be brought to life, or they will drag us down and destroy us. You know, it's probably a dark secret when somebody says to you, let's just keep this between you and me. That information, that action, that event that you know isn't right. And maybe it happened at a tender time in life, and the person who said those words was somebody of significant power. It created a dark secret that is threatening even to this day for some people to drag you down. Today is on the church calendar, not just the first Sunday of the year, but more significantly, the Sunday they call Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany Sunday is the Sunday that the church remembers the visit of the Magi from the East. And, you know, if you listen to this narrative, very well-known story, you'll see that it's filled with intrigue and secrecy, secret meetings. Now, not on the part of the Magi. Now, we commonly call the Magi the wise men, right? The visit of the wise men. But when you read this story, I just can't quite get to the wise part of some of their actions. Yes, they properly discerned the sign in the sky that a new king had been born, but from that point on, a lot of what they do isn't quite so clever. They rightly discern that this star portends the birth of a new king, and so they go whisking across to this faraway land of Israel, and where do they go? To the capital city. To tell the old king this great news, that there is now a new king. Now, even if the old king was a benevolent, well-meaning person, I'm not sure this is news that's going to be received well, and Herod is not that. Herod is devious and scheming, one of the most reprehensible characters in all of history, and certainly to find his way into the pages of Scripture. This guy was such a megalomaniac, so concerned about his power. He had one of his wives killed, two of his sons killed. This guy was somebody of significant danger. And for these three guys, maybe, or four or five, however, we don't really know, to show up, hey, there's a new king. All Jerusalem, basically Herod and his entourage, are up in arms about this news. And so he quickly calls together, secretively, his advisors and says, "Where's this, if there's a new king, where would he be born?" And they scour through the scriptures and that would be Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the site that is prophesied to be the birth site of the king. And then it says, Herod secretly summons the Magi. Let's have a little meeting, just us. Can you guys let me know when the star appeared? So they tell him. And now, would you mind just going down there to Bethlehem and finding him? And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and pay him homage. Now, come on. Yeah, you got to be able to see through this farce, right? Not these guys. Great! We're all in. We're all with you, Herod. We'll be right back. We're just going to run down 5 miles to Bethlehem, find the baby, and we'll be right back to tell you all about it. You see, sometimes we get sucked into other people's dark secrets unwittingly. Maybe we were too young or a bit naive. People take advantage of our good nature, and suddenly we find ourselves participating in something that is clearly not right, not of God. Immoral, unethical, against everything that we were taught to believe is right. Herod is that kind of a sinister character, and they show up and they invite us to become part of their secretive, duplicitous lives and lies. And sometimes we find ourselves in places that we never thought that we'd ever be there. So they run on down to Bethlehem and they find the king, and they're just about ready to head back and tell Herod, guess where he is? You'd never believe it, a stable. And the text goes on later to say that suddenly God intervenes. He warns them in a dream not to return to Herod. All of a sudden, they're like, oh my goodness. And they depart for their home by another way. God intervenes and breaks the power of the secret. God intervenes and brings light, enlightens them as to the danger that they are in and the part that they are playing. And they go home by another path. They choose another road. You know, when we are in this place of having to break the power of a dark secret, it takes immense courage to choose another way. To be the one who stands up and says, I will no longer be a part of this. I refuse to continue to allow what happened to me so many years ago to control me or to allow you to manipulate me. I will not be a part of this dark secret any longer. It takes huge courage to do that. But we see again and again the people who find that courage and how it changes their lives, and in some cases, the lives of others. I don't know if these names mean anything to you. Mark Felt, Jeffrey Wigand, Sharon Watkins. Anyone? Mark Felt was the FBI department head who became aware of the Watergate, the Nixon participation in the Watergate thing, and went to the publishers of the newspapers and became the informant known as Deep Throat. His identity was hidden for many, many years. It just came out a few years ago. Wiegand was the tobacco executive who went on 60 Minutes, who said that, yes, the tobacco industry had been running tests for many years that had shown how addictive nicotine was and had kept those reports hidden. Watkins was the administrator for the Enron Corporation, who stepped forward and testified against the huge fraudulent practices of that former Fortune 500 company. These are people who got caught up in a web of deceit and lies and darkness, and finally said, I'm not going to be a part of this anymore. I cannot live with myself and continue to live in this dark place. And it costs them hugely to step up and to step out. Everybody's got a secret, son. Something that they just can't face. Some folks spend their whole lives trying to keep it. They carry it with them every step that they take until one day they just cut it loose. Cut it loose or let it drag them down. Today may be a day for someone here to finally cut loose of some darkness, to speak truth where it needs to be. Whatever it may be, you need to find the right person to whom you can talk, to confess. And it'll be amazing what happens when God gives you the strength and courage to walk out of that dark place. Perhaps it's been business practices that you know need to change. Some affair that you're caught up in that you know you have to get out of. Kids at school who have talked you into behaving in a certain way that you know is hurting yourself or others. Once the dark secret comes into the light, it doesn't stand a chance. But it's up to us. God, I pray for my friends here today who may be living in the grip of some dark secret and just haven't known how to get out. I pray, God, you would give them the courage to take a stand, to speak the truth, that today would be the day that they determine to no longer live in that dark place. God, thank you for being the light of the world, for being that great source of truth and light and love and grace, who offers us nothing but forgiveness and a new beginning. At this time of celebrating New Year, God, I pray for all of my friends here, my brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are visiting us, those who are new to this community, God, that this would truly be a new beginning, a fresh start, that the darkness would recede and the light would come. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.